Positive psychology is a field of psychology that's been around about 25 years now. The aim of positive psychology was to discover through science what are the things that contribute to our psychological well-being. What helps people to flourish? What helps us to be happy? And there's all kinds of things they've discovered in the last 25 years. But one of the things is a worldview, how we see the world, how we believe the world to operate. And they came down to these two main worldviews that people hold. One is an abundance mindset, That is the belief that there is plenty to go around, more than enough for me, more than enough for you. When I have an abundance mindset, I am quite willing to share. I'm able to be generous because there's more where that came from. When I see someone succeeding, I'm proud of them and happy for them because there's plenty of success to go around. An abundance mindset. The other mindset, the other worldview is called a scarcity mindset. A scarcity mindset is the belief that there is not enough for all of us, that there are limited resources. There's only so much. When we have a scarcity mindset, we hold on to what we have because there might not be any more. We find it hard to be generous because I've only got so much and it might run out. We tend to have a belief that in order for me to win, someone else has to lose. And if someone else is winning, then I must have lost something. As I talk about these two mindsets, you might picture people that you've seen on the TV, or maybe you've seen it in yourself, both of these. Psychology has found that people with an abundance mindset tend to have a better psychological well-being. They tend to flourish. They are more likely to be happy. And that people with a scarcity mindset are less likely to have good psychological well-being. They are more likely to languish. They are less likely to be happy. The thing with a worldview, however, is just me telling you that doesn't change your worldview, does it? Our worldview comes from all of those experiences and circumstances that have led us to now. And so those examples that were given to us by others, our experiences of the past lead us to this worldview. But an abundance worldview, an abundance mindset, should be really a Christian mindset, a Christian worldview, all because of this idea of grace, the gift of grace. Over this time, this Advent time, we're looking at the gifts of Christmas. And today, I love it, we've got the gifts shown here so we're reminded. I love the gifts right here at the mercy seat. How significant is that? Gifts on the mercy seat, exactly what the mercy seat is about. Gifts, the gift of grace. I had a little panic yesterday afternoon just to, in case you haven't picked up today's about grace. I didn't get to read the Parramattas on Friday. I was so busy at work. And yesterday afternoon, I opened up the Parramattas and had a read through and it said, Clayton's going to talk about the gift and it wasn't the gift of grace. And I thought, oh, I've got to rewrite this sermon very quickly. Anyway, Kylie set me straight, so it's all good. So that was a panic. Yes. The gift of grace. The gift of grace. What an amazing word. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Grace. Those who have been around for a while may know grace. There is my every debt to pay. And my favourite song about grace you may not know is by the group U2. Grace. It's the name of a girl. It's also a thought that changed the world. Grace. It's an idea that is wonderful when it's applied to me and is extremely offensive when it's applied to someone else. Grace is a divisive word. If you've been watching the news lately, the last couple of weeks, our politicians seem to be falling over each other, not for grace, but to be tough on crime. None of them are talking about grace, are they? We want to be tough on crime because that's our worldview generally, isn't it? Don't show grace. We want to make sure that people get what they deserve. Not me, I don't want what I deserve, but for others, they get what they deserve, right? Yeah. Grace can be a bit divisive that way. Grace. So we come today and we've been read, and thank you, Bev, for reading that so well. It's a long passage, the prologue to John's Gospel. I love it. Of all the Christmas things, Kylie talked about Luke's Gospel. I love John's Gospel. And John's prologue, John talks about Christmas in such a different way to the other Gospels. There's no shepherds, there's no sheep, there's no stable, there's no angels, there's no Mary and Joseph, there's no Bethlehem. John gets to the crux of the story. This is what it's about. This is why there's a Christmas. This is the gospel story. And he tells us in just 18 verses. If you read nothing else in the whole Bible, those 18 verses tell you all you need to know. The rest explains how it happens and what we do. And I love here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that that's Jesus. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And how many times did the word grace appear in that passage? It's the central idea. Grace. I want to tell you three things about grace this morning that come from this passage. And I think right through Scripture. The first thing we read and we notice here is that grace is the nature of God. Grace is the nature of God. Or maybe it's better to say it the other way around. The nature of God is grace. We see it right in the beginning, that verse that I just referred you to. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. That is not what the people were expecting. The people were expecting that if God was to come full of glory, he would come with power and judgment. And this is what Jesus says. This is what John tells us. When God came and showed his glory, it was grace and truth. The people were hoping for God to come and get rid of their enemies. Jesus came to show grace, even the enemies. Grace. It is the nature of God. The glory of God is grace. This word grace appears in so many different ways within Scripture, and it's translated, the Greek word is charis, and it's translated sometimes as grace, sometimes as gifts. In fact, we said the gift of grace, actually the word is the same. It's the grace of grace or the gift of gift. It's the same order idea. The grace, charis. It's shown as kindness or generosity. There's different ways that we understand this. James 1 verse 5 talks about God this way. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who is generous and loves to give generously to those who ask. The Greek is a bit hard to translate. No translation gets it quite right because it gets really awkward. The best way to translate it, to be true to the Greek, is if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask the giving God, who is generosity. And as you can tell, that doesn't sound quite right and it doesn't sound good in English, so we have to find other ways to say it. But James is saying there, God is a giving God. God is a generous God. No, more than that, God is generosity. The very nature of God is generosity. God gives and gives. The other word that I like that's similar to grace is the word love. John says in his first epistle, in 1 John chapter 4, God is love. And this is love, not that we loved God, that he loved us first. Amazing. It's the very nature of God. Generosity, grace. Grace is the nature of God. The second thing I want to say about grace is that grace is God's initiative. God came to us. It was God who initiated grace. We didn't go begging and asking for grace. God came to us. In fact, we read here in John chapter 1 that the people that Jesus came to, the Word came to, They rejected, they weren't even wanting him. God was offering grace to people that weren't asking for it, didn't think they needed it. It's God's initiative. In Romans 5, verse 8, we read, but God demonstrates his love to us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Before we even thought we needed it, at the end of the gospel, we read, see Jesus on the cross, and he says those words, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I think they did know what they were doing. I don't know. Pretty obvious, wasn't it? Right? These people who made up lies about him and tried him and had him killed, Jesus says, forgive them. They didn't think they had anything needed forgiving. It wasn't that they said, oh, Jesus, please forgive us as we kill you. They weren't thinking that. They were mocking him. Father, forgive them. This is the grace of God. It's his initiative. It's God's initiative. God comes with grace to us. I've heard people say, we've got to say sorry. We've got to repent to receive God's grace. Now, repentance is really important. It's in our doctrines, Doctrine 7, that repentance is necessary for salvation. So I'm not minimizing repentance, but understand this. Repentance is not a condition for us to receive grace. The grace comes to us before we repent. The grace comes to us before we even think we need to be sorry for anything. The grace comes to us when we don't even think we've done anything wrong yet. Grace is available to us regardless of the condition of our heart. It says in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. We will say sorry. We will repent, not as a condition of receiving God's grace, but because we have received God's grace. God's grace comes first, unconditionally offered. And on receiving that grace, we are led to repentance and holiness and goodness. We don't have to be good first. We don't even need to want it. God's grace comes first. At one call we were at, a lady came to Mini Musos with her little boy, little two-year-old, I think he was at the time. And she had a very happy life. She had her little boy, married, very successful in her life and very happy. But one of the other mums had a little baby girl at the time and invited her to church for the dedication of this little girl. And she came because she was a good friend. A bit reluctantly, she told her husband, make sure you sit on the end of the row so that as soon as it's finished, we can get out quickly. I don't want to be here for too long. As it turned out, at the end of that church that Sunday, they were among the last people to leave. They didn't go very quickly at all and then kept coming back and back. When she later became a Salvation Army soldier and she gave her testimony, she said, I wasn't looking for anything, but I came to church and I found it. That's grace. I remember the old song in the Salvation Army, many of you will remember it. He sought me, he sought me. When I was wandering far away, he found me, he found me. Oh, what a wonderful day. God is seeking us. This is the message right through Scripture. Jesus tells it over and over. The Father is standing. The Son tells his Father, I wish you were dead. Give me my money now. I don't want anything to do with you. Turns his back on his Father when he runs out of everything. Thinks, well, my Father's not a bad man. Maybe he'll give me minimum wage if I go back and work for him. And as he's coming, he doesn't even get to the house. The Father's been waiting and searching and watching for him and runs to him. And before the Son gets a chance to give his speech, the Father's already embraced him, has already hugged him, has already clothed him and is already organising a feast for him and welcoming him back as his son. That is grace. The rich farmer gives generous wages to the men who work all day in his farm, but he also gives the same generous wages to the men who only worked for an hour. Those that had worked all day thought it wasn't fair. They thought it was really fair when they didn't know what others were getting paid. It was generous. That is God's generosity. That is the grace of God offered to us. It is God's initiative. And we respond to that. The third point is that grace is abundant. Grace is abundant. I love this phrase. Verse 16. Out of his fullness, is a good word to start with, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of grace already given. Some translations say grace upon grace. Other translations say grace replacing grace. Grace is so big that when we think we've come to the end of it, we've only just begun. Peter wanted to ask Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? How long is grace? And Peter was so generous. He said, maybe I can forgive my brother 7 times. That's pretty generous. Politicians say, what do they say? 3 strikes and you're out. And they think they're being really generous with 3 strikes. 7, says Peter. That's pretty generous to forgive your brother 7 times. Jesus says, oh no, how about 70 times 70? And if you're still counting when you get to 490, you've done it wrong. You've missed the point. If you do the maths, you're not meant to do the maths. God's grace is so big that when you think you've come to the end of it, there's more. There's more. There's more. The very nature of God, God's initiative, the abundance of God's grace. See, sometimes I think, oh, I've stuffed it up this time. God will never take me back now. That's it. I've done my dash. How many times can I ask forgiveness for the same thing? Yeah. Am I the only one that does that? And God says, my grace is bigger than that. This is my gift. This is my gift. I mentioned the mercy seat before. I love it. I love the mercy seat here in the Salvation Army. I mean, mercy is another word for grace, isn't it? That we are reminded every time we walk into this building and when the windows are open, when the curtains are open, even if you're not walking in here, you look and you see this mercy seat. And here it is reminding us that God's grace is here right in the middle to remind us that God's grace never runs out. Here it is. Something went wrong in the Salvation Army at some stage and we started to think of it as a place of disgrace, didn't we? You know what I mean. Someone would go forward and we'd say, I wonder what she did. Yeah. Oh, what's he been up to? He's gone on the mercy seat. General Bram Tilsley said, the mercy seat is a place of grace, not a place of disgrace. It's a place to come to when you're having a good day. It's a place to come to when you're having a bad day. It's a place to come to when you've been living a holy life and it's been a place to come to when you're having a sinful moment. It's a place of grace that's available no matter what is going on. And it's a reminder that God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is available. God's grace is abundant. And whether you come and kneel here or not, it's visible as a reminder that God's grace is available for me and available for you. So what do we do with this grace? Firstly, we just receive it. It's available. If you're like me, you need to keep coming back to it and back to it and back to it and back to it. The well's deep. Keep coming back. If you're like me, you need the grace for today and tomorrow. If you're like me, we need to keep coming back and receiving of that grace and accepting that grace again. This morning, let's thank God for that grace. Let's accept that grace. Oh, Heavenly Father, your grace truly is amazing. It is overwhelmingly amazing. Thank you. We receive it today. We ask, Lord, that as you fill us with your grace, that that grace will overflow in us, that we will be generous to others. Gracious to others, knowing that there is an abundance of grace to us. Fill us with your Spirit. Fill us with your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The world tells us that karma is the way the world works. Karma. Karma says you get what you deserve. We do the same thing. We use the golden rule backwards, don't we? We say the golden rule, do unto others and then they will do good to you. You get back what you do. No, that's not what the golden rule says at all. Karma is getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Let me just read some more of that song by U2. Grace, she takes the blame. She covers the shame. Removes the stain. It could be her name. Grace, it's the name for a girl. It's also a thought that changed the world. Grace finds goodness in everything. She travels outside of karma. Grace finds beauty in everything because grace makes beauty out of ugly things. We're going to sing, and as we sing, we sing of this amazing grace. If you want to respond to that grace, maybe you want more of it this morning, kneel, sit, just drink it in, and allow God's grace to overwhelm you.